Welcome. I'd like to acknowledge the continuing sovereignty of all First Nations peoples right across the country. I'd also like to acknowledge elders, elders of the First Peoples of the land, and elders of more recent arrivals. Welcome to each and every one of you. And welcome to all our listeners tuned in across the country by the National Indigenous Radio Service and across the world by the World Wide Web. Welcome to you. It's great to have your company. Well, a little overcast. Let's hope you've had a great weekend. Let's hope we get some moisture out of these clouds that are hanging around. Today, I'm expecting to talk to Wayne Wharton about the G20 and the protests that are being organised here in Brisbane. And from what I understand, there's a number of different groups that have something to protest about and plan to be on the streets. And I believe there's been some negotiations with police where there's access to Musgrave Park, which is in the red zone or whatever the zone is that doesn't allow freedom of movement around the place. And this is one of the big things with this G20, the fact that it's the big disruption, major disruption to public transport, to people moving around. Businesses and even work, people wanting to go to work and stuff. Major distractions. Major distractions, not destruction, distractions. And people being put out right across the board. I wonder how some of the businesses, poor buggers, manage and even people going to work. And people living in the city in some of those big apartment blocks or those high rises and stuff like that. And it's not just the city, like I said, it comes over here in the West End, South Brisbane area. So it's, I'm hoping to get on to Wayne pretty soon. But if you, I was wondering how you feel, how some of your mob feel about this G20. Is it worth the effort? I mean, to have these, some 20 major nations from around the country coming in, the security, you know, taking out rubbish bins and things like that, taking them away from train stations and public places. They're just little things, but. What are you supposed to do? You get fined for littering, and if there ain't no rubbish bins around, you're going to get fined for littering. Or you just carry it with you long enough to find a bin. But I wonder how people are being impacted on. So if any of our listeners want to make a comment, give us a ring on 3892 0188. 3892 0188. Just to hear your view on G20. And like I said, there's a number of other groups protesting as well. The plans are for First Nations people to be down in Musgrave Park en masse and making a few statements. There's a number of statements that can be made. And as we said in the 82 Commonwealth Games protests, the whole world is watching. So again, it's a prime platform for people to make a point, to let the world know of the conditions in this country of First Nations people, to let the world know of the treatment of the asylum seekers. There's it's a prime platform to do all of this. So just give us a call, 3892 0100. Here's a song by Kev Carmody. I've got a caller on the line, Mike, tuned in from Cairns. Mike, welcome to the program, mate. How are you?
Good, brother. How are you?
Yes, I'm going real well. You listen to the program much at all, being in Cairns?
Yeah, I do. In between my jobs, driving to and from, you know,
yeah,
my
right.
jobs.
When
I
you can?
When I can, yeah.
Oh, big cheerio. We got a few calls in from Cairns, so big cheerio going out to the Cairns. Well, we just spent all last week up there, and it was a nice break from Brisbane, and a beautiful... Beautiful weather and stuff was great. So, Mike, what are your thoughts? You want to make a comment about the G20?
Yeah, I do. I just think these people who, you know, the authorities and that think they've got so much power, and I just think it's arrogance that what they're exercising their so-called power by inconveniencing the public and saying, I think they think they're bigger than they are, thinking there's somebody's going to do something to them. I mean, basically, most of them I wouldn't give a free feed to.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah.
You know, who do they think they are? You know, I mean, they're elected people, and they're only people like you and I, you know, and we had it in Cairns here. You know, we had the economics one.
Yes, yes. How did that affect us in Cairns? Well, security and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It might have affected some of the city businesses a bit. I mean, there were police, you know, coming out of the woodwork, and I'm thinking, you know, it's just sort of overkill.
Yes.
You know, it's like all that money spent on bringing all those, you know, all those
resources together, yeah.
Paratroopers, I call them, not police, for what? I mean, you know, most people wouldn't give a rat's what's-his-name about them, you know, and get on with their daily life. Most of us haven't got the time to bother, you know, to do anything, you know, as far as anything bad towards politicians or statesmen. Most of us don't really care. I mean, and it just sort of pervades, you know, the arrogance that pervades from them, you know. Mm-hmm. And the inconvenience they do to the public. Oh, it's all for our good. Well, I didn't sign up for that, you know.
Yes, no, I know what you're saying. I generally agree with you. I just don't know that the cost of putting it on, is it recovered? I mean, how do they recover these costs? And to me, it's using a sledgehammer to crack a nut, really, when you say those police and everyone brought in the cans and for what?
Well, if they never said anything, nobody would know they came into town.
Exactly. You're right there. If they didn't tell anybody, nobody would know. Be any the wiser.
They'd sneak in a normal jet or something, and somebody would look over and say, I mean, I saw Bill Shorten walk past when I was doing some glass Louis Vuitton when I was inside, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, hello, you know, goodbye. You know, you're just another person to me. I'm not disrespecting the guy, but I mean, it's like, you know, they put themselves up in this high sort of status and thinking, well, you know, we're, you know, they talk about classes. I mean, they're in a class of their own, you know, this elite class, you know, and most of these politicians from overseas, we wouldn't know them anyway,
That's
you know.
Right.
That'd be just another Neville Nobody walking down the street, you know?
Yes.
But I just think it's just a lot of hoo-ha, and they're going, you know, oh, look, aren't we tough? You know, this is the power we have. You know? And I think it's just an exercise of power and control. That's all it is.
Yes, you know? I certainly wouldn't be I've spoken to a couple of people, and I said, well, we're just staying off the streets. We're staying home, you know?
Don't impress me.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
You know, I just went to, you know, Georgie Bracken's 80th down here in Innisfail last Saturday.
Did you really? Yeah? All right.
And, you know, like my partner, Lenny Miller, she's related to Georgie, her on her dad's side. He's a Brackenridge. And we just had a great time. Now, there's a man who I admire, you know, for what he's done, you know. You know, these guys aren't fit to bloody tie his bootlaces up, most of them.
That's right. What was the era that he was around and held titles? You'd know a little bit of his history?
Well, I think he was lightweight, and I don't know a lot. Lenny downloaded a lot of stuff, but he held his title for 7 years, you know, and he was... I mean, I was probably a little bit young to sort of recognise him. I'm a 56-year-old and 58 vintage, and I was probably a little bit young. But we also had Grogan.
Clary Grogan.
Harry Grogan's, we had his 80th couple of months earlier in the year.
Yeah, right, because old Clary's been gone for a while. He's another well-known professional fighter from way back in the 50s or so,
So, you know, these are guys who did something, you know, and you know, I see these politicians put themselves up. I mean, people do a hard job every day. I mean, people go out and are heroes and work and risk their lives for their families all the time, you know. 50 to 58, was that his boxing career? Yeah, Lenny just said 50 to 58 was, was Georgie's boxing career.
Well, it's great that he's around to celebrate his 80th, and it's good to know you were there.
It was great. We had a ball, you know, down at the I don't know if you know Cairns at all. Tiger?
A little bit.
Innisfail at all? Innisfail.
Not a lot of reason with Innisfail.
Yeah,
no,
yeah.
No.
But we just had a good time, and but you know, these are the sort of people that, you know, like and Fred Hollows and people like that who left a legacy and were just kind to people and did stuff, you know, and you know, they're the sort of people that I honour.
Yes.
Not these other hollow men, I call them, you know.
Yes. Yes, paper men. All right then. Yeah. Hey, thanks for your call, Mike from Cairns. No. Thanks a lot, eh, brother.
Thanks, brother. You take care, eh?
You have a good one. Rightio.
See ya.
Bye now.
Bye.
There's Mike from Cairns talking to us. And, yeah, like he says, you know, it's a lot of organisation, a lot of resources being pulled in just for their event in Cairns when they all met up there not so long ago. Like he said, if they didn't tell the world wouldn't know that they were around. Cairns mob wouldn't know that they were in Cairns. Brisbane mob wouldn't know that they were in Brisbane. And is there a need to tell everybody? They got a strange way of doing business. Governments, a strange way of doing business. And isn't that weird how you change? I mean, what's an example of someone who's changed? The bloke from the lead singer from Midnight Oil. Garrett, Peter Garrett. I thought he'd changed considerably from when he was, and well, some people say maybe you're supposed to, you're expected to change. But I don't know. Do you really need to be changed that much to the extent where you compromise what you stand for? 3892018, if you've got any comments on this G20 business that's taking place here. I think it's next Saturday it starts. And it's going to impact quite heavily on a lot of people trying to travel, trying to get to work, trying to just move around, maintain what you do, your social life and what have you. It's going to be impacted on quite seriously. We've got a song by Kev Carmody again, with this song with Sarah Stora, The Children of the Gurindji.
Sarasora, Kev Carmody, Children of the Gurindji. And the Gurindji, of course, are the people up there where they had that strike in 66, where Gough Whitlam poured the hand of sand in that old man's hand, a handful of sand into his hands, which Carmody and Paul Kelly put together the song, From Little Things, Big Things Grow. And that was the Gurindji strike, and they have a celebratory anniversary each August, towards the end of August each year, out there in Gurindji country, Kalkarindji and Wavehill. So, yes, it is a time for protest to let the world know when the G20 takes place from the 8th to the 16th of November. That's this Saturday, a little over a week, something like 10 days or so. 9 days, and it's certainly a time to take to the streets and let the world know just how these governments are operating, how oppressive, how ridiculous, how cold, how mean-spirited the Queensland State Government and the Federal Government is treating people. And it's not just First Nations people. Like I said, asylum seekers. Look at how they've been treated. Kids, children, behind razor wire fences and stuff like this. People, the asylum seekers being held in detention centres and what have you, and being forced to resort to inflict pain upon themselves and stuff, hunger strikes and what have you. It's a sad state of affairs when their only crime is that they wish to escape from the threat of death in their own country. That's just outrageous. Have you got any thoughts on how the G20 may impact on you? If you're living in the exclusion zone here in Brisbane City, if you're working in a business, run a business in the exclusion zone, how's it impact on you? But like I said earlier, Musgrave Park is expected to be a tent city
First Nations people from across the country are encouraged to come on down and join in the protests. We've got a caller on the line. Welcome to Let's Talk. Who have we got?
Hi, this is Mandy here. How are you going?
Mandy, I'm well. How are you?
Good, thanks. Good, good.
What would you like to say, mate?
I drive vehicles to and from the airport. I was just curious what protesters have in mind for us when we're bringing in and out families from the airport. Do they plan to hold up areas and so forth at the airport?
At the airport or around the exclusion zones, on the streets?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure. I've been trying to get hold of some of the... I doubt that they'd be planning to hold people up. I mean, there'll be particular days when they plan to be on the streets demonstrating.
It'd be nice to know that they wouldn't try and detract from people who were trying to have a genuine holiday in Brisbane.
Yeah, yes. Yes, no, it'll be interesting to see just how it does impact on people, what happens.
No worries. You enjoy your day.
All right, buddy. Thanks for your call, eh?
Thanks, and bye.
Have a good one. Yes, it'll be interesting to see. There will be some people impacted on, like with the G20. There are people being impacted on. And with the protests and demonstrations that take place, again, there will be people that are impacted on too. It may well be that people on the roads or travelling in from the airports, who knows? But as it is, we'll try and continue to get hold of somebody from the organising group, particularly the First Nations organisers, and see if we can get some clarification on what the plans are for the marches and things. Got a song here by 3892-0188. If you want to make a call, give us a ring. Let us know what your thoughts are, whether you're impacted on with the G20, whether you think it's worth all the hullabaloo, the big scare campaigns, the scare tactics, the security, all around security and stuff. I mean, it's just outrageous how this country has now gone crazy following in the footsteps of America. With the fear syndrome, you know, having everybody fearful, people, as they say, people hiding behind the traditional dress of Muslim women and things like that. This fear syndrome, fear paradigm that people are in is out of control, and it spreads to the police force and the defence forces. I'll have them on standby and all sorts of things. On standby for what? But, you know, maybe I'm trivialising the so-called threat of attacks on Australia, on people here. But I think you create your own target, really, and I think that's what the Australian government has done. They've created their own target, or put themselves up as a target. If they didn't tell anybody, nobody would know. Nobody would even care. I've got young Bo Spiram here as well. And Bo's involved in the discussions and planning and of the protests. Bo, welcome to the program. How are you?
I'm good, Aunt. Good.
Tell us your mob, your country.
Yep. Well, my name's Bo Spiram. Spiram I get from my father. He's from Moree. Paul Spiram, he was born... down there in the hospital, grew up in the mission down at the back there in Mooring, the Mi'i Mission. Mum, she was raised in Brewarrina, but her and her older siblings were born in Gadooga, actually in tin shacks along the river, on a reserve, as they call it back then. And then they got shifted to Bree, and that's when her other younger siblings were born out there in Brewarrina, on Dodge City, the mission out that way.
Okay, Dodge City.
Dodge City.
Beautiful place.
Yeah.
Down around Bree.
Yeah.
Now, we've also got Wayne Wharton on the line with us, joining us. Wayne, welcome to the program. How are you?
Yeah, mate, running around trying to beat the rain.
Keeping you busy, eh? All right. Well, I've got young Bo in the studio. Just about to start telling us a few things. Wayne, tell us your mob, your country.
Oh, I'm a Kuma Murray. Southwest Queensland, and I guess Well, my mob's spread from Kalamala right across now, all the way from the border, and then following a lot of our people down the river, down the Darling and up the Murray, down the Guida, and down up along the Carnarvon Gorge Ranges.
All right. You've won a recent native title determination
recently? Yeah, we're pretty happy with that. But, you know, it's, what people don't understand is that there's 300 different mobs in this country, and how they deal with their sovereignty is up to them, you know? And that's one of the things that we've had a strategy for about all the time, is to get a homeland for our mob. And that's what land rights meant to us, was it was getting a homeland so that our people got somewhere to go. We were pretty lucky. We got some land out of the ILC in the early days, 92. And what we did was converted that under a native title, and we ended up with exclusive possession for about 200,000 acres.
That's a pretty good result.
Yeah, it was considering you had all the people saying to us in 92 and 94 that native title was only going to benefit 10% of the people and they were all going to be in the north.
All right, yes. Oh, congratulations on that. It's certainly good to hear.
And there's a few others that have come along after us, Cullerlee and Buntama, I think the Wonk, Cullerlee and Goongri and a whole lot of people where they said that it wasn't going to be any rights, so these people have proven it wrong.
All right. Okay. Well, talking about the protest, the G20, or the G20 event itself, which provides a platform for First Nations people and others, because it's not just First Nations mob, our mob, that are planning to protest. There's other groups as well, I believe, planning to protest and rally.
Yeah, well, I think like I said, in my old people always taught us that, yeah, our society is built on responsibility, not on rights. And it's funny how we've ended up, the black community here in Brisbane has ended up having the responsibility to cater for the alternative voice to the world, to showcase that alternative voice to the world in the format of the G20 at the Musgrave Park during November. It's something that we've done in the past. Tiger, you were there in 82 and back in 88, where the black community here in Brisbane has accepted that responsibility and advocated on behalf of the world. Mm. And we find ourselves in that position again.
With Musgrave Park, it's in the exclusion zone, or what's their term for the lockdown, like the is it exclusion zone? What are they saying?
I think Bo would probably know better, but we're in the worst zone because we're only two streets away from where they're meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's I don't know. It's a funny feeling, you know. We were there in 82, remember, Tig? And all they wanted to do was lock us up. They wouldn't let us march. You know, the bullying and the police and the army and the military, and they made all new laws like they did. They didn't go as far this time as creating martial law, but they've created new laws.
Yeah, right.
And back in 82, they went as far as creating martial law.
They did.
And what we're saying this time is that it's funny, because they're actually sitting down in the dirt with us and negotiating the police.
You've had the opportunity to negotiate with police, to talk with the authorities, city council, I suppose, as well, about access to Musgrave Park?
No, the second one, no. They've been totally obnoxious, the city council.
All right.
It's the police that have shown leadership and shown, I guess, through their negotiating teams and the new commissioner, a willingness to identify that people are human and they've got a right to protest.
Mm-hmm.
And then B, work out a plan how people can protest.
All right, that's you'd be happy with that. The fact that the police are sitting down saying, "Well, yeah, well, Musgrave Park is a right to utilise or access Musgrave Park."
Well, it's totally foreign ground to me. I'm a bit bewildered. I don't know how they have a look at it. We're just waiting for that big right hand to come from behind. Black fellas walk around with one foot in front of the other, keeping their eyes, both eyes going. And, yeah, it's bewildering. And but they're actually coming out on record and on the news and making statements and saying that they want to see it happen.
Mm.
And, you know, just that in itself is a win tie.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes we don't know when we win sometimes, you know. And,
yes.
You know, we're two streets away. The police have said we can have the park to hold our activities all week and protest. And they're going to put up a fence for us for safety. So,
all right.
And the council's been the obnoxious one.
Mm.
And they've kicked us in the guts by closing down Jugger Hall and bunging on an asbestos or a maintenance program that no one had any clue to. And we just had a judge the other day make a pretty in-depth finding about the fire and the use of the dogged area there. And that's been pretty scathing too. So it's you know, it's pretty strange when you get some wins and things, you know, when you think about it in 1982 and 88, all we wanted was the right to go down and protest, and we didn't have that. Here we are 20, 30 years later where the police have given us the park to protest in, and on face value, all our permits have been approved, and you know, it's going to be pretty amazing, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Bo, for a young First Nations fellow, what's it mean to you to have the right to get out and protest? What are the issues for you? And then, like Coco saying, for police to be, author approving permits and stuff to march. Mm-hmm. How does that feel?
It's like being involved with the embassy and then looking back, like on May 16th in 2012, you know, when all these coppers ran in, you know, and you know, grabbed like about 35 of us and arrested us, you know, and then, you know, later that year on the, I think it was the 12th of December, you know, another 100 coppers, you know, come down and grab us again, you know, like, it sort of reinsures you that, you know, like, that they're willing down, that they're willing to sit down with you, you know, and have this discussion. But then again, you know, like, we always got to be weary, you know, about, you know, what these coppers said, you know, and like Unc just said, you know, you got to watch out for that right hand, you know, and that's one of the things, you know, that we're weary of, you know, not just with the protest, you know, not just with the camp, but, you know, just in general conversation as being Aboriginal, you know, and the thing to look out with, and the thing to look out for, you know, when it comes, you know, our people, you know, and the police force, you know, there hasn't been a good relationship ever, you know, and I'm not trying to say that this is going to make a good relationship, but, you know, it's always in the back of the mind. But in terms of like being a part of this here, you know, watching docos like Ningle and Nah about the embassy and the one that we made here at work, you know, you know that you're going to be a part of something special, you know, and like when we were sitting down doing the filming for, you know, for 82, for the doco here, and you know, seeing all these old fellas walk in and out, you know, and hearing their stories that they, you know, and about how, you know, they just said, you know, it was something that we had to do. It was a responsibility. It wasn't a burden. It was an honour, you know. And like as a young fella, you know, like that's how I see it, you know. You know, whether that's getting arrested or beaten up, you know, like it was sort of, you know, there's something that was a part of, you know, being like a young activist or being involved in it there, you know. And one thing is I don't see what I do as a burden. I see it as an honour, you know. Like they say, you know, we walk in the footsteps of our old people or next to our old people, you know. And you know, I take that pretty, you know, pretty like to heart in it there. Mm. But no, to be part of something like this here, you know, where, you know, different mob from around the country, you know, different, you know, activist protest groups, you know, are coming and out there, and you know, and also, you know, getting word from different international indigenous mobs about this, you know, it's something special to be a part of, you know, to be involved in a discussion, you know, that could really, you know, change, you know, the way our people think and how our people are seen, you know, in today's society. You know, it's something great to be a part of, you know the building of something, you know, and then, you know, that, like, there's this discussion at the end of the month in Alice Springs, you know, so whatever we put together from here, you know, like, well, you know, I spoke with the organisers and we said, you know, we're going to send it over, you know, to them as well, you know, so some of the stuff that, you know, we're talking about here on the East Coast, you know, can get out, you know, to the mob in the middle and that, you know.
Yeah. Besides the protests, the rallies, the marches, Wayne, what are some of the other activities? I mean, there's panel discussions. I see there's also a film festival type thing being where you'll see the film that's rarely hardly been shown a lot, and that's the protest, the 82 Commonwealth Games protest. That film's to be shown. Ninglana, which was about 72. Tent Embassy down there in Canberra, I believe that's to be shown, and a number of other films. So what other activities do you have, Wayne?
Yeah, well, what we've got is, I guess the Sunday is really the ceremony, the welcoming ceremony.
That's Sunday the 8th of November, yeah, this Sunday.
Oh, no, the 9th. The 9th. Sorry, Sunday the 9th.
Sorry, mate, I got me days mixed up. Sunday is the 9th, yeah.
And it's the 9th, so that's where... the Jagera people and the Turrbal people and the people from Brisbane are welcoming everybody. And it's where we take the fire, you know, and put that fire back down in the old bore, down the bottom end, and all the other nations come together, and all the other people that come here and call this place home come together. So Sunday's a big day. Monday's a granny group. It's all the grannies around the country, and not that old as some of these grannies either. And
that's right. They're young. Some of the young mob. There's the grannies, yeah.
Yeah, and they're out there. There's a national organisation now. It started out of a lot of the old grandparents getting stuck with, or not getting stuck with, accepting the responsibility to look after their grandchildren. That docs are going into care. And we've seen the scourge of ice and the drugs in our communities and how it impacts on young families. And it's, you know, a lot of times it falls onto the grandparents to try and pick up the pieces. I think, you know, there's something more to this too. Is that I think docs and the welfare groups are trying to make an industry out of foster care in this country. I think that's the scourge and then... the level that this government is looking at. You know, they're looking at levels of how they can create economies and how they can create industries. You know, the Aboriginal affairs industry, our misery, is one of the biggest employers of white people in this country. And if you look at the welfare system, the foster care system, I think the government is actually using our people to jack up another income, another economy, where people make a living out of taking our kids out of their families and providing care for them. I don't care what people say, but I can, you know, I can read the writing on the wall, and that's something we've got to be fundamentally, and a lot of these old people are against. Otherwise, it's too horrendous to be done on by accident. And the other one is the environment. You know, we on the East Coast here, we sit on, you know, we've had some...
Bo, tell us about, there's a young people's forum taking place.
Yep. On Wednesday, you know, the 12th of November, what we're going to do is have the young people's forum. And have, like, it starts at 9:30, so the panel discussion is going to kick off with the nation-to-nation conversation. Myself, Ricky Onus, who's Gunai, Pakir Rusko, who's Gurumpul, and Callum Clayton-Dixon, who works here, who is Nungyawana. We're just going to talk about our experience within Canada, some of the stuff that we've seen over there, you know, I guess what it took in, you know, for their mob over there to get up and, I guess, you know, reclaim and rename, you know, reoccupy their lands, you know, whether it was through mining blockades, whether it was through blockading highways that there and creating, you know, other different forms, you know, of, I guess... of you know, expressing their feelings, whether it was through, you know, some of, like, there's about 4 to 5 different independent grassroots magazines over there, really, really good. You know, there's like independent, like a sister girl that we met, Amanda Licker, she has this multimedia network called Reclaim Turtle Island, where she goes around and films a lot of these protest camps and a lot of these blockading camps that are set, you know, set up out in the wild and out there to blockade some of these mining companies, you know, and so it's just a discussion about, you know, I guess what we did over there, you know, what can we bring back, you know, to see if it works here or not, or and you, just how we can, I guess, build more of a conversation. within our country. But then the panel, The Future of a Movement, Uncle Coco's daughter, Ruby, she's on it, Amy Maguire, former editor of The Tracker, now editor, I think, of New Matilda, or part of the New Matilda team. Jade Slucky, she's Gimbange, she's a part of the Grannies group. Phil Windsor, he's Ngurrumbal. He works over at St. Lucia University. Ronald Cora, he's Ngurrumbal from out Ipswich. He's a political rapper. Preston Colbung, his mother is Vanessa Colbung, and the grandson of, I think it's Kevin Colbung, activist, staunch, you know, Noongar man from back in the day.
So Kenny Colbung, yeah.
Kenny.
No longer with us.
And then at 7 p.m. after the forums, we're going to have Lyrics of Liberation. Two hip-hop artists from down Sydney are coming up to perform. Pro Vocals and Phelim. Also, Trix is going to perform.
So you got concerts, performers, panel discussions. Wayne, the panel discussion Saturday, Sunday, decolonisation before profit. What does that mean?
Yep.
Decolonisation before profit.
Well, what people have got to understand about us blackfellas is that we mightn't be many in the scheme of things. We might be only 100,000 here in Australia. But when you put all the indigenous communities together around the world, you know, we come in billions. All the First Nations people around the world, we're counting ourselves. You know, we run into the billions, and that's something. When we've got countries like Guatemala and other South American countries where they're actually flexing their muscle against the might of America and the exploitation of multinational companies, actually chasing out oil companies off their land, and really changing the shift of things. It's really that. And to Australia, you know, we've seen the decolonisation process take place right around the world. And we've seen, particularly with the USSR, how many new countries have been formed out of that, with the Commonwealth of I guess, France and Spain, how many other countries have been formed. And I guess, more directly, what we're saying to these 20 nations that have come here. And it must be said, Tiger, we've invited these nations to send delegations to us and talk to us. You know, this is not the first time. It's been done over many years. And we're just the next stage, I guess. And what we're saying is that, you know, people do, particularly for Australia, you know, it's one thing to use lies and deceit to gain a profit and to be able to economically benefit, but it's another thing to hold your head up without any shame. And that, you know, this country is a nation of thieves. It's always been said that's all they will be until they answer the question of occupation in this country. And, you know, being ignorant and looking the other way, just because one person breaks the law, everyone breaks the law, and they do it in the name of profit. And I think this is a challenge that we're saying to the rest of the world, you know, has become civilised, decolonised. And one of the ways that they're doing this is to address, particularly for Australia, if we look what happened to West Papua, but we look more directly what's happening to our people here, the why we're in the plight that we're in, why we've got institutionalism and entrenched trauma, is because that question of occupation, the invasion of our country. Everything, you know, we're a country under occupation, and we're a country that is controlled by force. So much the same way that France was or Poland was during the Second World War, and the trauma that's passed on from one generation to another generation, the inherent poverty that's passed on from one generation to another generation is just going to be maintained and passed on until this country answers that question of occupation properly.
And you think that by telling the world what the issues are for First Nations people and others in this country, but primarily First Nations people, this is a prime opportunity where it's a platform, provides a platform to let the world know just what the issues are, like with sovereignty, the suicide, the highest highest rate of suicide in the world with our young people, these sorts
There's going to be 3,000 journalists here, Tiger, during that week, and this is what I say to all these other so-called pretend organisations that want to run around the world, go to Geneva and to sit over there in New York twiddling their thumbs and wasting money. I want to say to them, you know, we don't have to go all the way over around the world to London or Geneva or to Amsterdam to stick up for us. We've got 3,000 of the world's media here in Brisbane for that week. And the people, black people, particularly First Nations people, have a story. This is where the story should be coming out. And these fellas that run off on taxpayers' money to sit in the halls of the UN and pretend to go to all these conferences around the world, they should be here in Musgrave Park during that week. So, otherwise, there's going to be 3,000 media that are from around the world that don't get the right story.
Yeah, right. And you're expecting then, like similar to 82 Commonwealth Games, a tent city down in Musgrave Park?
Yes, well, we put it to the council. With, you know, we as Brisbane Blackfellas, we've got a responsibility to our countrymen that are coming and to our visitors. Before that was a park, it was a bora. And we're very lucky that going into this that we've had clarification over the Musgrave Park Corporation, Cultural Centre Corporation, and they've given us permission to use their leased areas up at Jagera Hall and the other area that's held under lease to Arts Queensland. So, yeah, mate, we're inviting everybody in there. It's somewhere that people can learn, support each other. We're very healthy that people like the Quakers and the churches, Uniting Church, and the Catholic churches have all come on board. And let's give these 3,000 journalists a real story to go home because, you know, the trauma, the hardship and the our people will never, ever stop until this question of compensation and compensation and retribution on the land is put to rest.
All right. Now, that's very good. We're getting close to news time. Thank you very much for your time with us today to let people know. Get on down to Musgrave Park. You can set up a camp down there and or just turn up on the day for the panel discussions and activities, the rallies and marches. Just get down there. Yeah. Thanks for your time, eh, Wayne? We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And, Bo, thank you.
No, thank you, Mark, for that there.
And we'll be talking up more. You'll get reports from 98.9 FM during the course of next week on what the activities are, where and when, and how you can participate. Join me tomorrow for Let's Talk on your local First Nation station.